Thanks for listening to the Mornings with Carmen LaBurge podcast, made available thanks to support from listeners just like you.
Helping you wake up, remembering this is our Father's world. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio.
If we're gonna fly, we fly.
Good morning, my friend. I'm Carmen LaBurge. Just take a deep breath this morning. It's possible that today's going to hold opportunities that are great and grand, and it's also possible that today is going to hold some unexpected griefs. So let's just take a deep breath today. I'm wondering if you've been noticing what I've been noticing. I have been noticing what I will describe as a rising tide of hopelessness, not just in the world, but in the world right around me. So do you know somebody who could use a fresh dose of hope today? Maybe that's you. Maybe you have lost hope. Not all hope, but, you know, lost hope. I want you to be praying today for Michelle. Michelle is going to be in court today after 14 years of marriage. Her husband walked away from that. And we don't want Michelle to have lost hope. So will you pray for Michelle today? Phil's wife is facing some health challenges. And I don't have any doubt that Phil's not lost hope, but Phil could use the encouragement of our prayers. So I know a family who has lost hope that they'll be able to afford their own home in this current market. And I know another family who has lost hope that the school system, the educational system, is going to be able to actually help them educate their special needs child. I've got a friend who's lost hope that doctors are going to be able to help her alleviate her chronic pain without addictive drugs. She doesn't want to take the opioids that they say are pretty much her quote-unquote only hope. I know another woman who has lost hope that justice is going to be achieved for the violent attack on her daughter. I know a business owner who is literally closing up shop today because he's lost hope. The fabric of his city is now so frayed, he doesn't think that, you know, the cops are going to be able to hold it together. He's lost hope. But where I see evidence of lost hope in my community in particular, it used to be that the only place that I consistently saw individuals holding cardboard signs asking for help and a handout were basically at the exits from the interstate, right? Where you come down that exit ramp and you've got to stop there at that corner for some extended period of time. And so you are there and they are there. And then there's this one other corner where I've consistently, in my own community, encountered individuals who are asking for a handout, asking for help. But increasingly, it's not just those corners. There are now individuals at the intersection of the roads that lead into and out of Walmart and the grocery store and the mall. There's a person who is now holding a sign at the exit of my Walgreens parking lot. Her sign just says, "I've lost all hope. Please help." So many people holding out a sign that indicates to us that they've lost hope. And they're looking for help in a world that is not sufficient to supply what they need. So while I can, you know, stop every time I'm asked and do what I can, the reality is there is only one real source of hope. And that got me thinking. There's this thing called the Westminster Catechism. Catechisms are these cool question and answer formats for those of you who might be new to the Christian faith. Maybe you're a brand new disciple and you're like, I don't even know. What is that word she just said? What kind of cat? A catechism is just a question and answer formula where you ask questions back and forth. And so, you know, like, what is our only hope in life and death? Like, what is the chief end of man? What is our only hope in life and in death? And the answer is, our only hope in life and in death is that we belong to God. That is it. Our only hope in life and in death is that we belong to God. And so I want to invite you to put your faith in the living God today. He alone is able to sustain us in the midst of all of the challenges and questions and confusions of the present darkness that we live in right now. God never fails. His mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness is great. He loves you. He sees you. His grace is sufficient. He will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter where you've lost hope in the world, God's got the whole world in his hands. And that includes you today, right now. Our Growing Your Faith verse of the day comes from Hebrews 11, verse 6. It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. And how does he reward them? He comes to live with you. He comes to live in you. He dwells with you. He walks with you. He talks with you so that you'll know you're never alone. Let us come today to God, and let us come believing in the goodness of God and the character of God revealed in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments and the beauty of God and the truth of God. Let us come together and put our hope in God today and sincerely seek him. Would you pray with me? God, there's just so many circumstances in life today where we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We trust you. We know that in life and in death, we belong to you. We confess that we're just 3 days beyond the glory of Easter morning, and yet we already wonder if you really care about us, if you really see us, if you really have the power and the love to help us. So many challenges cause us to lose hope, God, and we confess that we've put our faith in many, many things and many people when our only hope is in you. Our only hope is in you. Forgive us for holding out hope in lesser gods, the lesser god of self-sufficiency or human relationships or money or science or all the things that we use to prop us up, instead of simply collapsing into your everlasting arms. Holy God, we acknowledge that you alone are God. We acknowledge that you are good and that we belong to you. In life and in death, we belong to you. Grant us the faith sufficient today to please you. We believe, Father. But in those moments when we doubt, in those moments when we are losing hope, help our unbelief. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm Carmen LaBurge. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. This is the Faith Radio Network. Another thing that I have been noticing is a rising number of Christians, in the culture who seem increasingly willing to take every opportunity to shine like lights in the midst of the darkness of our day. So one of those is Matthew Slater. He's a former NFL player, a three-time Super Bowl winner. I mean, you know, like, he's a real guy. He's going to join us next because he's also a real Christian. And maybe he would want us to know that first and put that first. So my conversation with Matthew Slater is up next. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. Well, this is really fun. We have with us Matthew Slater, three-time Super Bowl champion, 10-time Pro Bowl selection, 5-time All-Pro, 16 seasons in the NFL, 13 of those as captain. He is like the it guy when you talk about special teams in the NFL. Matthew Slater, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Carmen, thank you so much for having me. I don't know about being the it guy. I just think I did a good job of fooling them for 16 years.
It says in my notes that Tom Brady says you're the best teammate and even a better man, and that Bill Belichick said that you're the best core special teams player in NFL history. So that sounds like the it guy. I don't know.
Well, I think that's a testament to God's grace. So I'm just very thankful for a heck of a ride, and I had so much fun.
Well, that's really what we're here to talk about today. When I ask some of the guys on our team at Faith Radio, hey, I'm going to be talking with Matthew Slater. What should I ask him? They gave me questions that I would not have thought of. And so I'm going to ask you some of those questions. So this should be really fun. One of the guys said, look, Matthew Slater says that football is something that I did, but he often says it's not who I am. Ask him what that means. So there you go. What does that mean for football to have been something that you did, but not who you are?
I love that. I love that question. You know, I think ultimately as a follower of Christ, you know, I have my identity in something that is fixed, and that is him. You know, we all are called to different vocations over the course of our lives. And, you know, we're called to use our gifts, talents, and resources and steward over those well. And football was something that God called me to do. But at no point in time did I see myself as, you know, I am a football player. I saw myself as a Christian who was having a football experience, not the other way around. And, you know, I'm so thankful that the Lord called me to football because, you know, I did have a lot of fun. And I had a lot of great experiences, made a lot of great memories. But ultimately, you know, who I am at my core is a reflection of who God is and what he's done in my life. And, you know, that's something that will never change as long as I'm on this earth. And, you know, it's something that I'm very thankful for.
Well, one of the reasons that we're talking with you, our Twin City listeners, some of them will have the privilege of meeting you in person on Saturday, April the 20th at Grace Church in Eden Prairie. But you have a ministry now that is off the field and, you know, and on the stage, so to speak. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing now?
Yeah, well, look, I'm very excited to partner with Coach Dungy for this Arise with the Guys. It's an honor to be partnered with someone like Coach, who has such a tremendous legacy of following Christ and discipling men. And, you know, that's really what, you know, I hope to do in this next chapter of life. You know, I have been gifted to be a part of something so great in the game of football, but I believe the Lord did that so that I could glorify him and lift him up and point others to him. So as I share my story, I hope people hear about Jesus. I hope people consider Jesus. And, you know, so excited to be with Coach Dungy for what I believe will be a great weekend.
I grew up in Tampa, so I remember Coach Dungy as Coach Dungy. There's a lot of people who, you know, like, right, they don't necessarily remember him as like the coach of their team, but that's who he is for me. So I really, really appreciate your partnership with him, appreciate his ministry over time as well. All right. One of the other guys on my team said, all right, when you are talking with Matthew Slater, I'd love to hear if he had moments when his faith was put to the test. Being in that kind of environment for 16 years, I just wonder, were there particular times where he really leaned hard on God?
100%. You know, as I think about my journey through football, God used the game to teach me a lot, and I think he used it to refine me in a lot of ways. But the biggest thing that I learned was dependency. You know, you can't play in the National Football League for 16 years just of your own strength and of your own will, of your own might. I had to learn to be dependent on Christ every day. There were so many challenges, so many ups and downs, so many low points, and so many times I just didn't have answers that – you know, God really taught me to trust in the finished work of Jesus. And that was amazing. You know, the times that really stick out more than others are, you know, I had 7 surgeries during my football career. And, you know, anyone who's been through an injury and the rehabilitation process, all the unknowns, the physical pain, the emotional pain, the uncertainties, that's a very challenging time. And I think for me, those were times that I really, really had to lean to Christ. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't have a guarantee of a positive outcome. I didn't have a guarantee that I'd be on the roster when I got back healthy. So I really just had to lean on him. And I think that was really taught me to do that, not just in my professional career, but in all areas of my life. It's just that dependency on Jesus for everything.
We're talking with Matthew Slater. From special teams fame in the NFL. And we're going to continue our conversation with Matthew here in just a moment. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen.
150 million people. 150 million people actively use one particular app every month in the United States of America. I want that to be the Faith Radio app. How about you? If you're wondering how you could be encouraged in your faith at any time, anywhere, well, I got good news for you. There's literally an app for that. You can listen to Faith Radio live, any show on demand, no matter where you are, at any time of the day or night. Download the free Faith Radio app right now. It's super easy. Just text the word app to 877-933-2484 and click the link. Let's connect faith to life.
Continuing our conversation with brother in Christ and three-time Super Bowl winner Matthew Slater, you spent your career mostly with one team. Do I have that right? Assume I know nothing about football, just for a moment.
And
tell us, you know, like, okay, this is where I spent my time. These were my guys.
Yeah. So, you know, I spent 16 years my entire career here in New England, which is something I never planned on or never expected. And just so thankful for God's provision and his favor over my career. But the beauty of being in one place for so long is, you know, my wife and I had the opportunity to really find community here, not just on the team and the ministry through the team, but, you know, in the community outside of football, being able to use our platform to have an impact for the kingdom of God. And man, we're just so thankful for that. You know, that's not the normal experience for professional athletes, but we tried to take advantage of it and we tried to be faithful and good stewards over what God gave us. And, you know, we're just so humbled that he chose us for that. And, you know, now New England's home. I never thought as a Southern California kid I'd say that, but we're blessed to call this place home and so thankful for our time here.
There are a lot of people, obviously, who look up to you. I'm wondering, when you were younger, were there guys who kind of brought you along as a Christian in this particular profession? And then are there guys that you're bringing along now? Can you talk a little bit about, you know, that the heritage and the legacy of faith?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, discipleship is so important. And I think definitely, you know, amongst men who are trying to pursue God with all that they have, I was very fortunate in that my dad was really my spiritual mentor, my professional mentor, having played 20 years in the NFL and having walked with the Lord all of those 20 years. It, you know, I had all the experience and every example that I needed in my home. So my dad was my rock throughout my career, but especially early on in my career. And what a blessing to be able to share that experience with him. I also think of guys when I was younger, like Benjamin Watson, Chris Hansen, Sammy Morris, so many guys that really poured into me and were intentional about showing me what it looked like to be a man of God in the arena of football. And, you know, as I became older, I remember when Benjamin left the team, and he said, "All right, it's your turn now." And, you know, he referenced Paul and Timothy because I told him, I was like, "Benjamin, I'm too young." He was like, "No, you're not. You know, just stand on the truth of the gospel." And that's what I've tried to do. You know, I've tried to point others towards Christ. I've tried to let them learn from my mistakes. And I've tried to be as intentional as I can. You know, hey, look, guys, this is not about football at the end of the day. It's about the type of man you're becoming, who you're submitting to, and where you're going to spend your eternity. And, you know, I tried to do that whenever and wherever I could.
So your dad is, you know, Hall of Famer Jackie Slater. For those of you listening, that's the, you know, when you're trying to put that together in your mind, that's Matthew's dad. What a blessing to not only have been, you know, raised in a family of faith, but by a dad whose profession you were able to participate in as well. You have kids now. Maybe talk a little bit about how, as a dad, you're pouring into them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have four kids. Jeremiah's 8, Hannah is 6, Noah is 4, and Micah will be 2 on April 17th. So, you know, fatherhood has taught me a lot. It's shown me a lot about who I am, but most importantly, who God is and the way that he loves us. And I think as a father, it's so important to be intentional about, you know, conversations and example in terms of who you are as a follower of Christ. And my wife and I have tried to be intentional in terms of pouring into our kids, making sure they know the word of God, making sure that they have the truth, right? Our kids live in a world today where truth is very fluid in a lot of people's eyes, but we believe that there's eternal truth that stands for all time. So I've just tried to be intentional about pouring into my children. It's been a partnership with my wife, but we know as parents, as followers of Christ, the most important thing that we can ever leave to our children is faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we want for them above all things. So we've just tried to be intentional about that.
What are you doing for her for Mother's Day? Because I feel like that's super important. Well,
it is. You know, my wife wants the same thing every day. I'm sorry, every year for Mother's Day. And that is to be able to take a nap. if I can get those four kids out of her
off
hair.
Off doing something. Mm-hmm.
Off doing something. If I can put on as many loads of laundry as I can possibly get on, then she will be a very, very happy woman. So that is the plan. I'm sure we'll have something special when the time comes. But we look forward to celebrating her every year.
Hey, for our listeners up in New England, Matthew Slater needs an invitation for he and his four kids somewhere on the afternoon of May the 12th. Yeah, that would be
right.
really good.
Right.
Find something for he and the four kids to do that day. Matthew, what's so special about special teams? When I think about special teams, I'm thinking about the guys who return the football. I am thinking, I'm thinking about the guys that are on the field when it's not just the regular part of the game. So the offense and the defense aren't there. It's time for special teams. Do I have the right?
Yeah,
I got the right thing. What's so special about special teams?
Well, I'll tell you this. The kicking game to me is so exciting because when the ball's kicked,
You don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly. And the momentum of the game can shift. Obviously, scoring is in place when you talk about field goals and extra points, but you know, a big return can change the game. A fumbled punt or fumbled kickoff can change the game. A big play in coverage can change the game. And they're really, you talk about momentum plays when the kicking game is involved in the game. So I've always loved it, especially grew fond of it over the course of my career here in New England. And then the other thing I say, and I use this analogy a lot with believers, is, you know, oftentimes we get so caught up in the highs and lows of life, right? Which I would equate to like offense and defense. Like they're the stars, the high moments, the big time. But a lot of times we spend most of our lives doing the mundane. And to me, special teams is the mundane. You just go out there, you do your job, you keep your head down and you stay after it. And, you know, I think for me, my faith allowed me to embrace that role. Like, all right, it's okay to be great at something ordinary. This is where God's placed me and I'm going to be a good steward of it. So I can always find a way to tie it back to my walk with the Lord, which is awesome.
You had a lot of moments. I mean, over 16 years, there's a lot of moments. Is there one that kind of returns in your mind as like maybe brings a smile to your face? Like, can you take us to one moment?
Yeah, well, I think it goes without saying that the three Super Bowl championships that I was a part of are, you know, so special for so many reasons. But one game that wasn't a Super Bowl victory, you know, in 2018, we went into Kansas City and and beat the MVP and future Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in their stadium in the AFC Championship game. And a game that not a lot of people thought we would win, a team that not a lot of people thought was very good. But I'll remember that moment for as long as I can, because it was a special group of men. We were so together. We were bonded as brothers. Our families enjoyed spending time together. We really were invested in one another relationally. And to experience that high together was so, so special. And it's something that I will not soon forget.
I am not surprised that your answer to the question was not an individual moment, but it was a relational answer. And I genuinely appreciate that. That is what comes through in your character. And so we appreciate you. We celebrate you as a brother in Christ. I'm thankful to God for the way he is using you and your family to bear positive witness in the world today. And just want to say thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's really a blessing. Thanks so much for having me. God bless you, Carmen.
Yeah, thank you. That's Matthew Slater, now retired, which sounds crazy at his age, NFL special teams player, being a faithful brother in Christ, faithful husband, faithful dad, one that I am sure we will talk with in the future as God unfolds a ministry before him. So if you are in the Twin Cities area, you can actually get together with Matthew at the Arise with the Guys event that is coming up on Saturday, April the 20th at the Grace Church in Eden Prairie. Hey, Mark with a C, who is here every single day alongside us listening, just texted in and he is appreciating the conversation that we're having with Matthew Slater. He says, hey, I manage a halfway house in South Minneapolis, and I'm sponsoring 20 residents to go to the Arise with the Guys and see Matthew Slater and Tony Dungy in person. So so thanks for this interview. Hey, Mark with a C, thank you for being here each and every day. And what you do to shine the light of Christ brightly into the present darkness in which we live. And so thank you so much. Do you need a glory story today? Whew. Could you use some prayer and a glory story? That's what Kathy Branzell, our friend from the National Day of Prayer Task Force, that's always what she's delivering, right? She's always bringing us a glory story. She's always leading us into prayer. So Kathy's going to be here next. You have a glory story to share or a prayer request, hit me up on the text line 877-933-2484. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. One month away. The National Day of Prayer is 1 month away. The text we're going to lift up between now and then and on that day is 2 Samuel 22, 29 to 31. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. 2 Samuel 22, 29 to 31. If you're not already engaged with the National Day of Prayer, I invite you to find a way to engage in your own community and nationwide at nationaldayofprayer.org. Kathy Branzell is our friend, and she joins us again today. Good morning. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, friend. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Can we talk today about Easter people and
yes.
how Easter, the reality of Easter, the resurrection of Jesus empowers our prayer life?
Oh, you've been reading my heart. Yes, please. Yes.
So
yes,
how does
yes.
that work? Like what difference, like, you know, Easter's now, you know, I don't know, most people probably already put their Easter decor away, right? Like Easter's in the sure. background. Easter's 3 days ago, man. Like let's move on, right? What is, I know, right? That's so troubling. What does it mean to be Easter people or an Easter person every day, all the time?
Right. So, what I love is Easter's not only in our rearview mirror, it's in our windshield. And it's out our side windows. I mean, we exist because of Easter, because of Resurrection Sunday, right? It's just like Christmas. You put your decor up as long as you don't put your character up, as long as you don't forget that there's this constant refreshing and response. So that's what I've been thinking about. That's why I was like, oh, you've been reading my heart. You've been eavesdropping on my prayer life.
I've been reading your journal. I don't know if you know that.
Like, so just, much. You know. Because we have to remember. So be refreshed in remembering how much Jesus loves you. That's what Easter is all about. That Christ loved you so much that he squeezed all his glory into infant flesh, that he came and he walked this earth and he experienced everything that we experienced. He was tempted, he wept, he had relationships, everything we experience. He was rejected, his friends scattered when he needed them most, right? Everything, think about it. And then he laid down his life, the perfect Lamb of God, the unleavened bread, his body was broken for us. And the perfect unblemished Lamb of God's blood was shed to pay our sin debt that we could have never paid. We were helpless and hopeless without him. And now we live in eternal hope and glory. We're already seated with him in the heavenlies. That's got to affect our prayer life. How someone treats you, the relationship you have with someone, determines the way you talk to them, the things you say to them. So, of course, there needs to be this joyous, thankful response, this walking in his light, his love, and the life that he gave us. You know, he suffered through all of that, that we would respond in abundant life. And so we can throw out the hopeless, helpless chatter and walk in the joy and the peace and the blessed assurance that is ours. And I would say right after Easter, and we need to refuel every day in his word, is that there's a new joy, a new kindness and gentleness, a new hope every day. His mercies are new every morning. And that's got to affect your prayer life. Amen?
Yeah, amen. I am aware, I know you are aware of this as well, but I am aware that there are brothers and sisters in Christ who they've been praying for the same thing for a really long time.
Yep.
And Easter comes and goes. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like they're taking it to the mouth of the empty tomb, and or they're taking it to the foot of the cross and they're laying it down right there. And then Easter comes and Easter goes, and their chronic pain persists, or their prodigal doesn't come home. Or fill in the blank, right? Can you just speak to that? Like, how can we resist the temptation? Because this is the enemy. There's just no question. This is the enemy. How can we resist the temptation to be disappointed that the resurrection isn't enough?
Well, yeah. So I can speak to that from experience. You know, I mean, I had a brain tumor for 14 years, and you know, you have people say things to you, I hope with the best of intentions. Oh, you don't have enough faith. You're not really praying in faith. Yeah, I was. Or you have unresolved sin in your life. God's not answering your prayer because it's because of you. Okay. Lord, search me. But really, it was God's timing. And so what I had to learn was that my life belonged to him. And instead of having my eye focused and my mind and prayer focused on that one thing, the healing, right? I wanted to live. I wanted to see my children grow up. I wanted to grow old with my husband. But Lord, every day along the way, what is it that you want to teach me? What do you have for me this day? So instead of the one thing that I wanted so badly, maybe for you, it's a You want to get married. You want that relationship. You want that prodigal to come home. You want. Of course, he knows the desires of your heart and he loves you more than we could ever understand. So with that said, what is it today you have for me? I wondered how many blessings I missed along the way. How many thank yous I didn't say because it was that one thing I wanted that I wasn't getting. And so I would ask, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you today. And along the way, he was preparing me for today to become the president of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, to get to do all the things that we get to do. But there was all that preparation that was happening in building a trust with him, relationships with him, learning endurance and perseverance that made me who I am today for him today. And I'm glad I didn't miss it.
A couple of folks have texted in, and I want to lift up these prayer concerns together as a community of believers, and then we're going to take a very brief break and continue our conversation with Kathy Brenzel. Lindsay is in Ennis, Texas, and she says, we got about 200,000 people headed our way. Our area is going to be flooded because we are at the place where the weather is supposed to be the best and the eclipse is supposed to be the longest. And so they are now expecting 200,000 people to arrive in their community to watch the eclipse. She says, we've talked at the church about revival, and our church is, you know, trying to make a decision about what we can do to engage folks on Monday. So let's be praying for them about that. And she says, what if all of these people come and they're looking for, you know, something miraculous? And right. What if we gave them Jesus? So so let's be lifting up Lindsay today as you're listening. Have Lindsay and this church in Ennis, Texas, and other Christians and churches that are in the path of the eclipse. Let's be thinking about that. We've also got a friend who's going to have Carol's having surgery today in Connecticut. So lifting up Carol and that situation as well. Mark on the forefront of ministry with recovering addicts. Want to be thanking God for how the Lord is using you today, Mark. Thank you for the way that you are bringing forward your prayer requests. And as you are trying to hold that one thing so tightly, are there blessings that your hand is not opened to that the Lord is seeking to give? Let's be mindful of that as we approach God's throne of grace and mercy today with great expectation and hope. Kathy Brenzel is our conversation partner. She and I will return in just a moment. The National Day of Prayer is just 1 month away, and so we want to equip you to fully participate. So go to nationaldayofprayer.org. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. Anne texted me, and then we had a conversation on the phone. She's 86 years old, and her husband, Bob, is 96. She listens to the podcast every single day, and she gets a lot of encouragement for her walk of faith in the midst of a life that has grown difficult and weary in many ways. Anne has a Faith Radio story, and so do you. If Faith Radio is a part of your daily journey with God, we'd love to hear your story. Share how God is using Faith Radio to encourage you and help you grow at myfaithradio.com. And who knows, maybe Anne will hear your story and be encouraged as well. How can we be praying for you today? How can we come alongside you in your life of prayer? You can always text me, 877-933-2484. Kathy Brenzel is here from the National Day of Prayer Task Force. You can get connected with the National Day of Prayer in your community at nationaldayofprayer.org. How are you preparing, Kathy? How can we be praying for you as you prepare? How is the National Day of Prayer an opportunity for each of us to share our faith? Like, just roam around a little bit in what's happening.
Yeah. So, my faith family, I'll just throw my own personal prayer request out. And that Carmen knows that my husband is having cancer surgery on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. And so we're preparing our home and hearts for that and a long recovery. And so with all of that going on personally, then of course we're running into all things National Day of Prayer. So grateful. So many people don't know it's a law that the president must proclaim a day of prayer for the nation. So this just isn't another day. It's the only that we know of, the only federally legislated religious observance in the nation. And so stop to ponder and be grateful for the fact that we live in a nation where prayer is proclaimed and free and we can gather. So please go to our prayer gathering finder and find a prayer gathering in your area to join. There is power in being in prayer agreement with one another for neighbor and nation. And then our broadcast, where we're getting ready not only for tens of thousands of prayer gatherings on that day, including the national observance in Washington, D.C. with Congress. And you'll be able to watch that on a broadcast on many of your favorite television networks or streaming on our YouTube channel and on our website on the homepage. And pray with us, pray around the world. It'll be televised in every country in the world. That's mind-blowing to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so, but we're preparing our hearts in prayer for what God wants to do that day. And just remember, you're going to be in a park, in a Capitol building, in a church, in a boardroom, wherever you choose to go and pray, you're going to be with people that you don't agree with on everything. But if we live in a house with another human being, we should be used to that, right? And so what we can agree upon is that we need God and America needs prayer. And so let's focus on the power of that and how it delights the Father's heart. Think about it. If you're a parent, or if you have a sibling, think about how it delighted your parents' heart, or it delights your heart when your children not only get along, but serve together, do something extraordinary together. And it's our prayer that we delight the Heavenly Father's heart with all of us as spiritual siblings getting together to praise Him and to lift up His word over our nation and light up the world. It's time to go fight the darkness. It's time to stop playing defense with the devil and to go after him and light up the darkness.
Bob is on the text line, others as well, committing to pray for you and Russ and Chandler and Emily as your family prepares for surgery and all that will come after that, preparing your home and your hearts and you guys, and we're going to pray for you before we part company today. But Bob on the text line is also laughing, wondering how those bozos who told you you didn't know how to pray right are feeling today. So, I mean, that's true. It's true, right? If we had God's perspective, aren't there times that we would chuckle? Right. We in the midst of it, we feel frustrated and burdened and anguished and attacked. And God's like, OK, just wait and just wait, because I got something you just really can't imagine. And I'm going to use this in ways that you just right now can't see.
Right. God's like, I've got you. I really. And that's not flippant. It's to keep the eyes of your heart open. And just say, Lord, I want to see you every day. I want to see, because his ways and his thoughts are bigger. So what does that look like? What's the bigger? You know, and it's there every day. I promise. It's there every day.
All right, Lindsay in Ennis, Texas, we're going to be looking for a glory story after Monday's eclipse. We're going to be looking for a glory story, how God is using the congregation that you are a part of in downtown Ennis, Texas. If we could be there physically with you, we would, but we're going to be with you there in spirit. To the person who texted in and said, hey, I used to hear you make mention of this other person, and I haven't heard their name in a while, and they're from my town. Let me just ask you, Kathy, when the Lord brings somebody to mind like that, mm-hmm. like when the Lord like brings somebody's name to mind, how do you respond? What do you do?
Pray immediately. Yes. And you can say, Lord, I don't know what's going on in their life right now, but you do. And so, Lord, and start praying his word over them. Lord, I pray that your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is filling them right now, that they are saturated in your presence. Lord, whatever they're going through, whatever they're about to do, Lord, if they're being tempted, I pray that they would walk away. Lord, if you are about to do something miraculous in their life, open their eyes and hearts to see it. Lord, if they are experiencing hurt, Lord, be their healing, and just prepare them, Lord. Let them see you. Let them see you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we don't have to have the details. God knows every hair on their head, but we get to pray heaven down to earth. We get to be a part where he says he's our shield. That 2 Samuel 29. 22:29-31, we get to fan the flame. He's their lamp. He's about to lighten their darkness. We get to be part of standing behind that he is their shield, and we get to pray into that. And so always just lift up the word over them.
Father, we come before you as brothers and sisters in Christ by the power of your Spirit with Easter faith. We have a faith in the risen Savior, and we acknowledge that he is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Father, with every tongue that confesses the Lordship of Jesus, we come before you as brothers and sisters in Christ, bearing up our brother Russ and our sister Kathy. We bear them up to you. Father, Russ's body is fearfully and wonderfully made. You know him full well. You are the great physician. Kathy and Russ and their kids and their family and extended family and all their friends, we put our trust in you alone. We acknowledge that you can and will use this for your glory. We also ask you, Father, that you would bless them. Bless Russ with physical healing. Be in the midst of each and every person that's going to encounter him on Tuesday. Be certainly in the hands of the physicians who are going to be tending to his body. But, Father, be present. Be present. Fill that room with the power of your Holy Spirit and get yourself some glory. We look forward to the glory stories on the other side of this, but Father, in the midst of it, we stand with our sister in Christ, Kathy, and we pray. By faith, we pray in Jesus' name. We love you, sister. We love you so much. We're with you. We're for you. We're on our knees for the National Day of Prayer, and we'll remain on our knees with you for Russ's healing. You are listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge. We have another hour together up next, so stay tuned. Thanks for listening to Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. Podcasts like this are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes to give now. And thanks.